last night in a long, long time, and my heart is filled with joy to be able to see you again and to be able to share part of God's Word with you tonight. Those that have driven for such a long way, we do appreciate you so much. Those from other congregations, the several congregations here represented tonight, and I know the church here at Bogotita would always invite you to come back and be with them anytime you have the opportunity. Some have driven all the way from Lewisdale, and we're thankful for those brethren, the sisters that have come this way. And the Lord's willing, in September, the 12th, 13th, and 14th, we'll be over there running a weekend meeting over there, and we're looking forward to that. We've never been in the Lewisdale community, but we're looking forward to coming and sharing God's Word with you and enjoying our love with each and every one of you. Fellowship together. Last night we mentioned part of our lesson tonight that we're going to talk about one of our worst enemies. And since that time we've had several answers to that question. Some said that one of our worst enemies was the devil, and he is number one on the list. No doubt. He is our worst enemy. Some said that their own selves were their worst enemy, and how true that is sometimes in our life. We are our own enemy sometimes. And others have said temptation is one of our enemies, and how true that really is tonight. But tonight we want to talk about something else that's our worst enemy. I hope you can see that. Mark is about to run out of ink. It's called time. Time could be one of our worst enemies. Back in 1967, a group of experts, or so-called experts, appeared before the Senate of the United States of America. Now get this, 40 years ago, 1967, and that was the year that I graduated from high school. And these experts appeared before our senators, and they said that there are going to be many time and labor-saving technologies that are being introduced and would revolutionize our society's work and leisure habits. Now listen to what these experts said. They said within the next 20 years, the average person would work 22 hours a week, 32 weeks a year, and retire at the age of 40. These experts also said in 1967 that the number one challenge of the American population that they would face in the 1990s and the 2000s would be what to do with all of their excessive time. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of excessive time. And I know I'm not able to retire yet, and I'm way past 40. And I know my work week consists of more than 22 hours a week. And not only do I have to work 32 weeks a year, but 52 weeks a year. So that proves that these experts didn't know what they were talking about, did they? And my number one challenge is certainly not what I'm going to do with all my excess of time. In fact, they said that all these technologies, even though they've been invented over the years, we're still pressed for time, aren't we? And I can raise my hand to that effect, and I believe you can too. Every day of our life, we're pressed for more time. Now, over the years, there's been a number of entrepreneurs that have made a fortune helping people squeeze a little more time in their day. The Citicorp banking industry became one of the largest lenders in the United States by cutting in half the time required to process a loan. Have you ever been to a bank and borrowed money for a home or a car? I think most of us have done that, haven't we? And we don't like the red tape and the length of time that it takes to find out if your loan has been accepted. Well, this company did it, and they became the largest lender in the United States. Now, today we have fast food restaurants. Why do we have fast food restaurants? Because we can't wait. We don't have enough time to wait for our food to be prepared, do we? Just about on every street corner of every city in the United States, there's a fast food restaurant because we don't have time to wait for our food. We go in the grocery store, you know, we see all these items. Instant coffee, instant tea, instant potatoes, instant grits, instant pudding, and the list goes on and on and on. Why? Because we ain't got time for that coffee to cook, have we? So we've got to buy instant. We don't have time for those potatoes to cook, so we buy instant. Domino's Pizza became one of the leading retailers of pizza with their ad that if you don't receive your pizza within 30 minutes, you get it free. Now, in this day that we're living in, where time is our enemy, we want those pizzas as quick as possible, don't we? Our main text, if you want to turn and read with me, is Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul is going to quote something to this church. He's writing a letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says, I'm going to tell you something very important about time. Verse 14 of Ephesians 5, he says, Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. What does he mean when he says to redeem the time because the days are evil? What he's telling us as Christians is we need to use our time more wisely, don't we? I don't use my time very wisely. Now, we went around today knocking on doors, you know. But time became our enemy. We didn't have enough time. It would have been wonderful if we could have came to every door of every house that's represented here tonight and knocked on your door and asked you to come to church or pray with you or whatever. But we didn't have time. And as a result, time is our enemy, you see. And Paul says we need to learn how to redeem our time. Life is too short to waste time. Life is too short to squander time. Notice what James says in James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 14 and verse 15. James says it like this, Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then vanishes away, or a little time. For you ought to say, if it be the Lord's will, we shall live and we shall do this or we shall do that. Now James is making a comparison here. He's comparing our life with eternity. He said, you know, life is like a vapor. For just a little short time, we can see it. But all of a sudden, it's gone. You know, you might live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. Sister Irma McCaffrey, 104, 105 years old. Such a wonderful life she has lived. The average lifespan of a man in the United States is 72 years old. 72 years old. The average lifespan of a woman in the United States is 79. Now, the women are living longer than the men. Maybe they're taking better care of themselves, huh? But life is short. When we compare 70, 80, 90 years to eternity, it is short, isn't it? Someone tried to explain eternity to me one time. Have you ever thought, how long is eternity? He explained it this way, and I never will forget it. And some of you might have heard this explanation over the years with this example we're going to use. He said eternity is probably longer than this. Have you ever seen a hummingbird? Some of you probably outside of your patio, your back porch, your front porch, you probably got a hummingbird feeder hanging up. And you watch those little bitty hummingbirds come over and they stick their beak in that water, that sugar water, whatever it is. And they get their little beaks full and they fly away. And he said, eternity is this small. Think about one hummingbird flying down to the Pacific Ocean. Now that's the biggest ocean we have on the face of the earth, the Pacific. Think about that little hummingbird flying down to the Pacific Ocean, dipping his beak full of water and carrying it back to the moon. How long would it take him to empty the Pacific Ocean? He said, that might be how long eternity is. But you know, it's even longer than that. The words that we just sang of the beautiful song, Amazing Grace. Did you notice that last verse? When we've been there 1,000 years in heaven, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. 10,000 years, we just started to live eternity. 10,000 years, that's just the beginning of living with God in heaven. There was a recent CNN poll on television said that 66% of Americans would like to slow down and live a more relaxed life. I'll hold my hand up to that. I would love to slow down and live a more relaxed life. 40% of them, or 40% of us say that we always feel rushed. What about you? Do you always feel rushed? Now, if you go to Atlanta, Georgia, I've had the opportunity to go there several times, and I conducted a wedding ceremony in Atlanta not too long ago. There's 4 million people on 8-lane highways, and they're in a hurry. And you better not get in their way, because if you get in their way, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. Because they ain't got time to wait on you. If you're doing 60, 65 miles an hour, you're going to get your ears blowed off. Because they want to do 75, 80, 85, 90, or whatever it takes to get to wherever they're going and the rat race that they're living in. And that's what we're living in today, isn't it? It's a big rat race. There was a song that was made popular back in the 1960s, I'm not sure. Could have been possibly the early 70s. You need to stop and smell the roses along the way. You remember that song? It's a beautiful old song. Had a lot of meaning to it. And it's telling us, you know, we're living such a fast life. We don't have time to do this or to do that because we're living that way. And we need to stop and smell the roses along the way. Yeah, some people are living in the fast lane. That's the way I like to put it sometimes. Living in the fast lane. Sometimes I want to get out of the fast lane and drive over to the shoulder of the road and sit and watch for a while. Do you ever get that way? All these people just zip, zip, zip all the time. Back years ago, there was a show on television, a variety show. how the Ed Sullivan Show. Some of you I know remember that show if you're 50 years old or older maybe. And on that show there was a man that would take regular eating plates that we eat on China. And he would take a stick and he would spin a plate on that stick. And he would get that one spinning and he'd move over and he'd spin another one. And he'd move over here, he'd spin another one. And he'd spin another one. And all of a sudden he'd have 15, 20, 30 plates spinning on these poles sticking up. And all of a sudden he'd have to run back over here to the first one because it's starting to wobble and it's going to fall off and hit the floor. So he spins it some more. That's what we're doing with our lives. Do you know that? We're spinning our life the same way. We're spending our life with jobs, with marriage, with children, with schoolwork. There's no quality time. We're spending our jobs with or our lives with house cleaning, laundry, hobbies, friends. It's a busy life, isn't it? And you know what? We don't have time for God. We've left God out of the picture. Thank God watches it when He looks down and we're just in this rat race, just doing this for 5 minutes, doing that for 5 minutes, this for an hour, that for an hour, and never quality time, and never thinking about Him. It's a sad scenario, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Well-known passage of Scripture that probably all of us have heard and many of us can quote. And this Scripture is basically telling us that Christ has got to be center of our life. He's got to be number one. Now, football season is beginning, almost beginning, and all of us are concerned about who's going to be number one. Who's at the top of the pole? Jesus said, I need to be top of the pole. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore take no thought for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus said, look, I've got to be number one. I've got to be first. God has got to be first in our life. And don't worry about all these other things. They'll take care of themselves if we put God first. There was an author named Carl Sandburg. Many of us remember him when we were in school and we studied some of the great American authors. And he had so many great things to write. I want you to listen to him as he talks about time. Time is the coin of your life. It is the only coin you have. And only you can determine how it will be spent. Be careful lest you let other people spend it for you. And that's what we're doing today, aren't we? We are allowing other people to spend our time. We're not dictating our own time. We're allowing other people to do that for us. You know, in the time that God has allotted for me upon this earth, we need to have a good character. What is going to be the character of my life? What is going to be the character of your life here upon this earth? Sometimes it is not so much as what you do because we have limited control over what we do. But what is more important is who we are. We have unlimited control of who we are. Now we've got a scripture in Romans chapter 7. And I think the Apostle Paul explains this to us a little bit. I want you to notice this passage of scripture. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind of myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh of the law of sin. So Paul is saying, look, sometimes I can't control the things in my life. But there's one thing that we can control, is what kind of person we are. We make mistakes, don't we? Every day of our life, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. But you know something? We can be honest. And we can ask God to forgive us of that sin. And we can be true to God, and we can always talk to God about it. And He'll help us to overcome those problems and those temptations that come our way. We need to carve ourselves into the likeness of Jesus Christ. We need to put on His character, don't we? A man that was without sin. A man that knew no faults and no sin in his life. And we can cause ourselves to be a great servant of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, he said, I am a servant by the grace of God. You know, it doesn't bother me to be called a servant. Does it bother you? If somebody calls you a servant, does that get under your skin a little bit? Do you not like that word servant? You know, Paul was proud of it. I'm so thankful that I'm a servant, and it's by the grace of God, he says. You know, all of us are servants. We're here to serve God, and we're here to serve our fellow man. That's our whole goal. That's the whole duty of man, the Scripture says. To fear God and keep His commandments. John Wooden, former head coach of the UCLA Bruins, a basketball team, he says it this way, be more concerned with your character than with your reputation. Now why would he say that? Be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think you are. Now I want to repeat that. Your character is what you really are. Your reputation is what people think you really are. And there's a whole lot of difference, isn't there? So what little time I have upon this earth, and that's it's little, because James said it was, and I've got to use my time wisely while I'm here. I've got to put on a good character, haven't I? That's got to be my goal in my life. Before we think about what we're going to do, we need to decide what we're going to be. Have you ever thought about it that way? What am I going to do? You need to think about, what am I going to be? Am I going to be a Christian? Am I going to do what God says? You know, whatever I do, if as long as I do what God says, I'm going to be blessed for it, aren't I? Secondly, we want to think about what will be the contribution of our life. What are we going to contribute to the city of Bogachita? What am I going to contribute to the city of Dayville, Alabama, where we live? What contribution am I going to be left, or am I going to leave? we can make a difference. You might say, well, I'm just one person. What difference can I make? The Apostle Paul was one person. He made a lot of difference, didn't he? He brought salvation to the Gentiles. He started many congregations. He did the work of God and Jesus just like they asked him to do. And as a result, he was a great man, wasn't he? Great apostle. Great servant of God. We can contribute many things to our society, to our family, to our loved ones, to the local congregations, every one of us. I want you to listen to this little poem. It's very short. When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full grown man, time ran. And later as I grew older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find, while traveling on, that time is gone. The older we get, the faster time is going to go. I remember when I was growing up as a young boy, we would get out for 3 months during the summer vacation at school, you know. That seemed like the longest time. 3 months away from school. Oh, I'm going to have such a great time. It'll never end. You know what? 3 months today ain't very long. It's just 3 house payments. 3 car payments. 3 light bills, that's all. And it'll go by so fast. And somebody said, well, you know, when you get old and you retire, time will slow down. Oh, it won't. I guarantee you, ask these people out here today that are retired, does time slow down? They'll say no. It gets faster and faster and faster. And that's why it's one of our worst enemies. Life is not going to slow down. Every one of us have got responsibilities today. You've got responsibilities. I've got responsibilities. I can't pass them on to somebody else. I've got to take care of those responsibilities. They're not going to go away. If I don't take care of one, before you know it, I've got two. And if I don't take care of those two, before you know it, I've got four. And if I don't take care of those four, before you know it, I've got eight. And it goes on and on, doesn't it? Judgment Day is going to come. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul says it this way, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to wake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when you believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. All of us are going to stand before God and Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. Are we going to say to the Lord, Lord, I didn't have time to come to church. I didn't have time to worship you. You've got the same amount of hours that your brothers and sisters have got. 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week. They have time to come worship God. They have time to praise God. Why? Why do they have time that you don't? Because they're taking time to do it. Well, Lord, I just didn't have time to help my neighbor out. Is that going to be one of our excuses? Lord, I didn't have time to visit the sick. Well, Lord, I just didn't have time to sit down and read my Bible. I really didn't think it was very important. We need to take time, don't we? Lord, I didn't have time to talk to you. How hard is it to talk to God? Is it hard? Now I want you to be honest with yourself, and I'm going to be honest with myself. Is it hard for me to talk to God? Is it complicated? Can't we spend just a little bit of our time talking to God? Communicating with our Heavenly Father. He's not asking for every second of the day, every minute of the day, but He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to pray to Him. Well, Lord, I just didn't have time. Time is running out. Time is running out for all of us. Every one of us. Our salvation is getting closer and closer and closer if we're God's children. If we're not God's children, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, aren't we? Because one day that time is going to run out. And it could be our worst enemy. Because we didn't obey God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you haven't obeyed the gospel from your heart. The plan of salvation is so simple. All we have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sins. Confess His beautiful name. How hard is it to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism? One time I visited a friend of mine. She had cancer. She was in her 50s. Early 50s. She was dying. And I talked to her and I said, you need to be baptized. She said, I want to be baptized. So we went and we borrowed a baptistry at a congregation close to where she lived. And that baptistry was up high. And she had to climb about 20 stairs to get into that baptistry. When she came into the church building, she was breathing oxygen through a tank and a mask. She grasped and gasped for air and cried every step and crawled up every step to that baptistry. And we baptized her there. Why? Because she wanted to be baptized. She wanted to obey God. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Isn't that simple? That's about as simple as it gets. I don't have to get up here and quote many passages of Scripture. I could do some of them. But I don't have to do that. Jesus said at one time, and that should be enough. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Tonight, if you need the prayers of the church, maybe you've been a Christian and for some reason you've quit coming to church. Maybe you haven't done things like you wanted to do. You know, Paul says, I want to do a lot of things sometimes and I don't. You come forward and you say, I've made mistakes in my life. And I want the church to pray for me. We're here to assist you tonight any way we can. You come to this front bench and give us your hand, and I guarantee you tonight you'll leave feeling a lot, lot better. While together we stand and we sing the number selected. You need the gospel call, we'll be coming.